A historian who spent her career studying papers and books says she is just beginning to appreciate how much she might learn from other living people. Patricia Nelson Limerick wrote histories that reshape the way we think about the American West. In a recent article in the Rocky Mountain News, Limerick says that, like many academics, she tended only to talk to other liberal academics who tended to think as she does. But now she is hosting a series of discussions in Boulder, Colorado, with a series of former public officials, both Democratic and Republican, conservative and liberal. She has invited every living Secretary of the Interior to come and speak at the University of Colorado. And Patricia Nelson Limerick joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
I just want to make clear the ideological divide that you're trying to bridge here. The University of Colorado is known as a very kind of liberal environmentalist kind of place. And James Watt, one of President Reagan's secretaries of the Interior, was the guy who was most famous for snowmobiling, I think, through Yellowstone National Park, a notorious enemy of environmentalists.
That would be an accurate summation of things. I guess I have a very fortunate character flaw that it's hard for me to dislike people when I get to know them, and it's very easy for me to wonder why I ever was so certain that I knew who they were when I was holding stereotypes and expectations. So it does not take me very long to think I need to re-examine what it was I was so certain of in this person's character or style. So actually, the very first time I met Mr. Watt was at a conference that he was attending, and I was watching him circulate around the group and greet people and smile and laugh. And so when I finally did meet him at that conference, he asked me what I had learned at the conference that had most impressed me or struck me. And I said, well, in point of fact, watching you, I've been most struck by the fact that you seem to be a very nice person, and I would never have thought that and never anticipated that. So that was where our conversation began. So I found him extremely likable, and I confess now that we've had quite a number of phone conversations, and I do consider Jim Watt to be a friend. That does not mean that I have shifted over and adopted his policies or positions. I think we still agree to disagree on most things, but I see no reason why I can't be in civil and respectful and even affectionate conversation with him.
Do you feel like there's not a diversity of opinion at universities right now?
Well, you've put me on the spot, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Why here?
I feel that we could go a lot further in our diversity of opinion. I feel that none of us ever get over junior high or middle school, and we all can go through the rest of our lives conducting ourselves in that thing so much lamented over, the cliques, the little cliques of students, the little gangs, the goths, and so on. We never get over that. We're always inclined as human beings to cluster with those we feel comfortable with. But everybody's doing that. Industry's doing that. Everybody's doing some version of that. We would like people who fit with us.
You could be confirming here, to some extent, a favorite complaint of conservative columnists who like to go on and on about liberals isolated in their ivory towers at institutions and campuses in different places.
I could be confirming that?
Well, you said that there is not necessarily a lot of diversity of thought on college campuses.
I don't know. Frankly, I have no idea how representative I am, but I don't think I'm the only one of my kind. I think there's a whole bunch of academics who, for whatever reason, well, the very discipline of history says our mandate is to try to understand the past. Our mandate isn't to try to campaign against the past or condemn and label the past as opposite to our preferences. And so I think that was what finally caused some of the Republicans in this to participate, because after many, many phone conversations, they concluded that I was doing what I'm supposed to do as an historian. I'm trying to understand them and their point of view to the best of my ability.
Can you give me an idea of why you decided to, of all the former public officials that might be out there, why you decided to invite former secretaries of the Interior, and what you hope the community there and the students there will get out of hearing these people?
I think the Department of Interior is extraordinary as a target for our attention, because in some ways it represents the United States wasn't supposed to have an empire. The United States was supposed to be the colony that revolted against empire. But then the westward expansion thing got underway, and the United States as a newly created nation ended up having more or less an empire, having colonies, having these territories in the interior United States and then all the way to the Pacific coast. So the Department of Interior was created to be the sort of home office of empire. And so when Donald Rumsfeld says the United States never has done empire, never would, never has, you think, well, what is the Department of Interior there representing? But then around the turn of the century, from the 19th century into the 20th century, the Department of Interior really moved in a different direction towards stewardship of public lands, of lands that would stay in public ownership and would not be distributed into individual ownership. And that was a very interesting experiment, and it is still a really interesting experiment. Is democracy compatible with that kind of centralized control over natural resources and lands? Yes and no. It is literally an experiment that's still unfolding and it's still really worth attending to. And Interior is the center of that story. So those secretaries are just extraordinary records, their time in office, of how opinion and attitude and conviction has been changing in the American public.
Were there other Republicans who agreed to come but who required a little persuading on your part?
I'm not sure that yes, of course, Mr. Watt and I chatted our heads off for a better part of, I guess, 6 months before he finally agreed to come.
And did he say, I don't want to come and be shouted down by a bunch of students or whatever he thought was going to happen?
He could not see a reason to take an inconvenient trip to speak to a group that probably would not be receptive to him. I think that would be fair to say that. He would say no, he didn't think he wanted to come to Boulder, and I would say, would you mind if I called you again another couple of weeks? I'd like to think some more about some strategies of persuasion here, so could we chat again? And he would say, I enjoy these conversations, feel free to call again. So I wish my phone line could be the subject of a documentary, because I've had such interesting phone calls over such a spectrum
and I guess,
of political positions.
And I guess James Watt hasn't come yet, so we have yet
he's
to find out if he's going to be shouted down or not.
He's not going to be shouted down. Respect is the key here, and he's a human being, and he deserves that, and he's going to get it because that's what universities are meant to offer.
Patricia Nelson-Lemrick, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And three former public officials from the Department of the Interior, Democratic and Republican, have already attended Patricia Nelson-Lemrick's seminars. James Watt expects to attend early next year.